Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cuff, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning.
Already laughing.
Already laughing. It's Monday.
Yeah.
And it's October 26th.
We think it's week 33.
We think it's week 33. We think. Because I'm pretty sure it was 32 last week.
I think so.
You know, but
I think I was confused about
today's weather has gotten you all discombobulated.
A sweater and a winter coat?
Yeah, well.
In October?
Look outside. That's the reason. It's snowing. Or was snowing.
It's wintry mixing.
It is wintry mixing here in Farmington. That's true. But there definitely is some weather around. But we are here in our warm and cozy Studio A.
Yeah, with?
You've got hot chocolate.
Look at you.
Wow. That was nice. Very nice. Got that for you.
I think it was my lovely co-host.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, it's good to have everybody with us. We have a great show coming up today. We're going to be talking about some of the things that Echo is doing in the community during COVID-19. And then we also have some news about a suicide awareness program.
Yes. We know that that's been an increasing issue. It's always an issue. But
right.
It's been increased during this time. So we have Suzanne Steitzinger here to tell us all about.
Right. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. But first, I think our first guest is on the phone.
Great. Let's go to it.
Shall we go to the phones and put her on the air right now? Good morning. You're on KSJE. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Good morning.
Hi there. Is this Nanette?
It is.
Nanette Pickney from Echo. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. And Megan's still on camera. I'm sorry.
I'm just staring.
Why am I still on the camera while Scott's
Monday,
talking?
It's Monday.
It is Monday.
But tell us what's going on with Echo.
Thank you, Nanette, for putting up with
sure,
us.
Sure. Thanks for having me this morning. So lots of really cool things going on with Echo. You know, as you can imagine, and as we all hear, there's a lot of need in the community and statewide for that matter for rental assistance and food. And a couple of things that we have going on specific to rental assistance is we've been able to partner with San Juan County recently with some CARES Act funding that they received from the state to assist in paying rent, mortgage, utilities, and unexpected funeral expenses. So we have some funding from them that is good until December 30th. And it is something that the individual or family does have to prove an impact by COVID in order to qualify for it. So a letter from an employer, you know, proof of reduced hours or something along those lines or something similar that just proves they've been financially impacted by COVID. And we can help them with their arrearages back from the middle of March when our friend COVID started visiting us. And it's a really, really great opportunity for those that have been financially impacted if they haven't already received assistance. So they can give us a call here at the office. We can kind of walk them through the process and then schedule an appointment for them to come in and get the ball rolling.
That's great. And so this is an extension of the CARES Act, right? So is this a new amount of funding that has been rolled out recently?
Yes. The county and the city, I believe, both did apply to the state for some CARES Act funding directly from the state. So it is new. We just started with this about a week and a half ago once we got our agreement in place with the county. So it is new funding that complements other funding that we have as well to assist those who may not necessarily be impacted by COVID but do have some sort of financial or economic strain that's, you know, caused them to get a little bit behind.
Very good. And Nanette, you were talking about how this money can be used for these folks. And it seems to me like a lot of these are maybe some new areas like this rental assistance or utilities. We know a lot of folks were really helped by the extra unemployment insurance benefit that was in place until about midsummer, but that has gone away. And so if folks are short, they can apply and maybe get some help with those bills like what you were mentioning.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, it's a new source of funding for the county, definitely because of COVID and the county understanding the stress on individuals and families. But it's not necessarily new to ECHO. We've always had emergency assistance for rent and mortgage and utilities and funeral. This is just some additional funding that the county has been able to access to just even, you know, stretch those dollars even further to help more people.
That's great. And when you mentioned funeral expenses, what is the, like, how much do you guys offer for that? Because that can be quite expensive. So is there like a cap on how much?
Honestly, it depends on the source of funding that's being accessed. Pre-COVID, we had funding from what we call our community service block grant from the state. And we did have a cap on that of, I believe, $800. With the County CARES Act, depending on the situation and if they can prove COVID, we can help with 100% of what they're not able to pay.
Very good. And Annette, we wanted to ask you too, I know you've got an event coming up, I think on Friday, and yes, with some food giveaways. We'll ask you about that in a minute, but you're also looking for volunteers to help with that. Is that still something you need help with?
You know, I will know more hopefully today or tomorrow about that. Right now, I think we've got about 8 to 10. The county was trying to help us find some, so I should get an update from them. But, you know, even if we don't need it on Friday, we can use it any other time at our food bank. So we're always willing and able to take volunteers Monday through Thursday to help pack boxes to prepare for events such as this.
Okay. All right. And we're showing a little post from your, I think, your Facebook page that said just contact ECHO through probably Facebook Messenger is the best way to do it.
Yes, that's great. It just gives us a really good audit trail of who all has reached out and is interested. So, yes, preferably through Facebook Messenger would be great.
And then the details about the giveaway on Friday. Tell us about that.
Sure. So it's a really cool program that's been going on for a couple of months where USDA or the Department of Agriculture has actually partnered with farmers to provide free food boxes to individuals and families in need at no cost. So Shamrock Foods actually received the award on that, and we have been partnering with them to receive those boxes and distribute them. And we've distributed those out on the Navajo Nation, as well as we had an event here in August where we did that, and we had one just last week, I think it was, or the week before, here in Farmington, and then we're going to do this one on Friday. So it's a really great opportunity. It's a good box. It has lots of really good things in there, milk, cheese, potatoes, onions, carrots, pretty good box. So it's at no cost. There's no eligibility. They just need to drive through, stay in their car, keep their windows up, and we will, they'll pop their trunk, we'll put it in for them, and they'll be on their way. It's a really simple process.
That is a good box. So yeah. I have a question about, so when it comes to donating to ECHO, you guys prefer a cash donation, correct? Because you can get things at wholesale and it's just more efficient that way?
I mean, cash is always great. And during COVID, it's been more helpful to receive cash because it's a little difficult to take a lot of private donations right now just because of COVID in general. But we will accept both. In fact, just to kind of shout out a little bit, we have the Mr. Potato Head contest going on right now with the local municipalities where they're doing food drives, as well as our Stuff the Bus coming up on November 21st. So those are all donated foods, and we are more than willing to accept them. And people do make cash donations at those events as well. So we'll take both.
Very good. And then I wanted to ask you just a bit more about that food giveaway on Friday, because I know there's a specific kind of route that you want folks to take when they go over to the county office building there in Aztec, right? And it's not really entering by Oliver Drive. It's kind of the next driveway over, correct, going to the from west to east.
Yes, that's correct. We need to make sure that we don't get in the way of the voters. So they're going to use Oliver Drive. So the county did ask that we take the very next right past Oliver. And it's kind of a little, U-shape turn. So they'll just come in right there. We'll have our truck parked. We'll load up their box, and then they'll just drive right out. It's a really, really good enter and exit situation for us.
Very good. So I would describe it maybe at the east end of the county office building there in Aztec.
Yes.
Perfect. Well, Nanette, thank you for joining us this morning. We really appreciate all the things that ECHO does in the community during COVID times and the rest of the time as well. You certainly are involved in a lot of things for the community, and we thank you very much.
Well, thank you. That's what we're here for, and we just want to keep doing what's best for the community.
Very good. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again, I'm sure.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome. That is Danette Pinckney. She is the executive director of ECHO here in San Juan County, and it's a great organization, as we've been talking about. And my involvement with the United Way, I've been able to learn a bit more about what they do.
Me too.
See? So there you go.
Look at us.
Look at us. Exactly. So more stuff to talk about this morning, of course, in addition to some of the things that we were mentioning there for families, how they can get helped. And, of course, if you don't need the help, we hope maybe you'll pass this news along to maybe a friend or neighbor who might be able to use it as well.
Yeah.
This news. So let's talk numbers, I guess,
let's
right?
Let's talk numbers. Here
Johns
we go.
Hopkins.
Yes. So we have U.S. confirmed cases at... Wow, so they switched it up on us. Yes, the second line, 8,638,127.
I don't know if they did it. It might have been your producer who did that today, so so sorry about that.
No.
Let's not blame Johns Hopkins, but
I mean,
yeah.
Whatever, we can blame. Okay. And U.S. confirmed deaths are now at roughly a quarter million, sadly, 225,239.
Right. Gotcha.
So.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I saw an interesting point this weekend on Twitter that if we were to take
something wrong with that sentence, but okay. Twitter is not known for its interesting points, but maybe
yeah,
this one is.
That's the entire reason I follow the tweets.
All right, please continue.
Yes, if we were to contemplate COVID deaths every second of the day, we would spend 22 hours contemplating it.
Wow. Okay.
That's sobering.
That's deep from Twitter.
Very sobering.
It is very sobering. I would think it'd be 24 hours a day.
Well, we'll wait until midweek probably and we'll be there. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. Numbers-wise, it was still a big high week of reporting numbers from New Mexico and San Juan County, by the way. So let's take a look at those. Again, yesterday, another 800-plus cases from New Mexico. Total of 41,863. We had 15 in San Juan County. That's actually down from earlier in the weekend when it was 30. Two additional deaths in our state, none in San Juan County, and 72 additional recoveries. There's now 20,837 people recovered from COVID-19 in our state. The stories on KSJE.com/news. Again, those are the numbers from the state. The Navajo Nation had 76 additional cases on Sunday. No additional deaths on the reservation. Their total now is still about, 11,298 cases on the reservation. And then the other story you can see there on our website is Farmington Schools, again, reporting a positive case at Farmington High School with a student that had been at that property. And, of course, they're reporting that they have been notifying all the folks that that student may have come into contact with. But another case at Farmington Schools. So... there's that story as well. We also have the delay from last Thursday. We usually share these on Thursday, but they weren't available Thursday. But the other numbers that the county compiles with these seven-day averages, and so you can see on this first graph, video viewers, just how concerning that pink number is in New Mexico.
Yeah.
It's higher than it was back in our earlier peak in July.
Yeah.
And so we've kind of gone down, but it's going way up. And then in San Juan County, the blue line is still fairly low, but still trending up. You'll see that more in just a moment. And the Navajo Nation line, the green line there, which is, again, kind of trending slowly back up. So that's the seven-day average cases since, again, back in March. And as we go to the next screen, you can see the San Juan County cases, the yellow line there. Now we're averaging about 115 cases a week, whereas back just a few weeks ago, we were maybe down to 18 cases a week back at the end of September or so. And, of course, at our peak, we were at more than 300, and we're not there yet, and we hopefully won't go back to that level again. That would be good. So our next guest, I think, is on the phone. So shall we talk to them and share some more information. Good morning. You're on KSJE. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Hi, this is Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne Seitzinger. We're glad that you called back in to talk to us a little bit about a really interesting program that we've been learning about, and it's more about suicide awareness, correct?
That is correct.
So what does that look like? What are you guys doing specifically over there?
Okay, so obviously we just wrapped September up, which is Suicide Prevention Month, and I think we're all seeing an increase in mental health concerns, and we get it. There is a ton of stressors during this time. So this group of amazing individuals was created to form the Not Alone Project. So we're working with Sue Hodgman, she's the director of San Juan Behavioral Health, Greg Allen, director of San Juan Safe Communities Initiative, Rick Clavado, CEO of Desert View Family Counseling, and Kim Dutremain, which is CEO of Cottonwood Clinical Services. So this group is going to be airing several series focusing on death by suicide over different demographics. We're going to be providing information on risk factors, signs, resources, statistics, and most importantly, real-life stories from some brave individuals. So I am super excited about this project.
Great. And so when can we expect to see this rolled out? Like, where do I go to access this information? Is it posted somewhere?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So we are set to air tomorrow at 10 o'clock. This is going to be aired on the New Mexico Mental Health Task Force page. It's also going to be on the San Juan Safe Communities webpage, as well as their YouTube channel, which is SJSCI. So if you see a lot of shares on Facebook, please watch.
Very good. And Suzanne, I know you also, you have another hat on that you wear sometimes, and you work with CYFD, correct? So there's a little bit of that background as well that you bring to this project.
Yes, I work for Children, Youth, and Families Department with the Juvenile Justice Services here in Farmington.
Excellent. Well, this is great. And this program is going to go, how many episodes do you think we will see?
Well, we don't have specifics, but we're hoping for at least 4 or 5 episodes over different demographics. And I think this is coming at airing this project at a perfect time. San Juan County also is opening up the Mental Wellness Resource Center, which is going to be located across from the hospital. So that grand opening is scheduled for November 12th. So I think that's going to be a great resource for our community as well.
Yeah, and that's great. And the Mental Health Resource Center that's opening November 12th, that's something where you can walk in if you are seeking help, right? And it's very, like, come, no appointment necessary. It's just a walk-in thing.
Honestly, Megan, I don't have the specifics because I'm not involved in that center specifically. But November 12th, they should be, I mean, depending on the governor's restrictions at that time. I don't know if people are going to be there in person for the grand opening. If not, I believe that they're going to be doing maybe a Facebook Live, and they'll provide more information at that time.
Very good. And another question, a follow-up question about the Not Alone Project. Are there going to be like support groups available? I know that part of it is prevention, which involves information, but...
Right. So... during the series, we do have contact numbers for people that either they feel that they need help or they know somebody that is in need of help. We have those phone numbers provided, you know, the New Mexico Crisis Hotline, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, the Veterans Affairs Hotline, as well as you can reach out to your local mental health resources. So I believe that information will be provided as well.
Very good. Well, Suzanne, we appreciate you calling in to share this information with us and our listeners and viewers this morning. And again, the first episode should be hitting the internet tomorrow is what you're saying, huh?
Yes, Scott.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Suzanne, so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott and Megan. I appreciate it.
You bet. You're very welcome. That is Suzanne Seitziger talking about this Not Alone Project. And again, we know we've had a big impact with suicides and attempted suicides and things in our community. And so I know this will be very well taken by the community, and it'd be great to share it around.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, this is an interesting statistic, speaking of suicide, in that almost statistically, the most incidents of gun violence actually come from suicide.
Oh,
so, yeah,
right.
If you put them on a graph, the most instances of gun violence is that which is perpetuated against oneself. So it's definitely a chronic issue, and definitely, you know, we could see how that would be augmented during these trying times.
Right. Definitely. We still have some other things to share this morning, which includes some of the other information for the community. The flu shot clinics continuing. Sound Regional is doing their drive-through clinics again this Saturday on Halloween. So you can go in your favorite costume, I guess, and roll your sleeve up.
As long as
get
it's
a flu shot.
As long as it's a costume that has easy arm access.
There you go. Exactly. So that is from 9 to noon at the North Visitor parking lot there at Sound Regional Medical Center at Maple Street and Schwartz. The free flu shot, they want you to bring your cell phone with you and wear a mask, of course. And it'll be happening, of course, on Halloween. And I know this past Saturday, the first one, we had an email from the hospital saying that there was no wait. You know, the mm-hmm. lines weren't that long. So if you need to get a flu shot, that is one opportunity that you can do. COVID testing, even in the snow, they're like the post office, like either rain, snow, sleet, they're out there.
One of my favorite taglines in the history of the United States.
Right. They're out there giving those COVID tests today. And again tonight from 4:30 until 6 p.m. here at San Juan College. Again, Wednesday from 7:30 to 9 here at San Juan College. And on October 30th, Friday in the morning, 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. here at San Juan College. So the schedule seems to be moving now to a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule mm-hmm. here as we move along. So that's good.
That's good.
Yeah, there you go. What else you got? Llamas?
No llama.
Korean
update.
Baseball? Nothing?
How about American baseball?
How about American baseball, right?
Yeah.
Dodgers are ahead. They won last night.
Dodgers
I watched
fan.
The game on Saturday, I guess it was. That crazy Ray win.
The Tampa Bay Rays.
Tampa Bay Rays.
Yes.
Although
yeah.
I was confused. Every time I watched the screen, it said TB. I thought it was tuberculosis.
The tuberculosis Rays.
Yeah.
Great. Now we have another epidemic on pause.
Yeah, thanks
a pandemic.
A lot.
Thanks a lot.
Right.
But yeah, no, that was, how about that ending? I only catch the highlight reels because I don't have access to the full game.
What? Really?
I don't have.
Television?
Yeah, I don't have.
An
like,
antenna?
I don't have cable or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But wow. That's a good point about the antenna.
Yeah.
Because this is regular Fox, not special Fox, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But that's okay.
Go Dodgers.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you are.
We're in the West.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Tampa Bay's over in Florida. Who wants to root for them?
I guess that's true. Yeah. And they have a connection to Albuquerque, I think. They have that's the front
oh,
team,
do
isn't
they?
It? The Albuquerque team down there.
That changes things.
Not
Does
for it?
Me, though.
Okay. All right. Anyway. Okay.
Yep. World Series. I almost forgot it was even happening, right? Because of all the
Well, it's been so different, right? The season's been so
weird. Right. It was truncated. They started late and nobody can go to the actual stands. But there's been some funny things they've been doing in the stands.
And they're playing in, like, Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And they have, like, you know, life-size cutouts of various, like, pop culture and celebrities and stuff. Yeah.
Well, there were people in the stands. They were just spread out, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I
just
saw.
Just a smaller...
Very small.
Yeah.
Yeah, little pods of people, basically.
People pods.
There you go. just one other article I wanted to pass on that I noticed this morning from the Salt Lake Tribune.
Oh, there you go. Look at you.
Yeah. How about that?
Digging
name dropper.
The Salt Lake Tribune.
Yeah. But they're very concerned in Utah that they are going to be reaching their maximum hospital capacity in the next 2 weeks. Mm. And of course, as a neighboring state, you know, we would be concerned about that too, but that they will have to start prioritizing care for some folks in Utah who are sick, not necessarily with COVID, but if you have a heart attack
just in general.
Or just anything that you show up at a hospital, especially in the Salt Lake City area, of course, the metro area there. But they are getting concerned about their hospital capacity in the state of Utah.
Yeah, that's very scary.
And so
anytime you have to go to triage is pretty scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's the other thing. I think I had called up one more graph that I wanted to share with everybody today before we go. And that was about some of the gating criteria for New Mexico. Now, let's see if I put that onto the screen to share. I might have not and forgotten, but let's see. Oh, no, I didn't do it.
Okay.
But I can get to it real quick if we want to stall for just a moment.
Sure.
And I will try to do that, everybody, because I thought it was interesting that with our high numbers, you know, we are kind of not near our gating criteria for the state, that the state has kind of... put out there, so I kind of wanted to share that with everybody.
Yeah, well, you do that. I mean, I can tell you some interesting updates in the collegiate world.
Please do.
So there's been some pretty innovative and ingenious tactics that universities are using where, I don't know, Scott, if you ever took like a mini-mester, these things generally happen like maybe in January or May. Does this ring a bell?
No.
Where you have one class and it's like 3 hours a day.
Oh, right.
Monday through Friday, and it's just like an intensive thing.
I might have taught one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing that kind of stuff throughout the fall so that come Thanksgiving time, they can just break until the spring.
Oh, okay. Right.
To avoid maybe that winter uptick as everybody remains more indoors. And
right.
So, yeah.
Gotcha. That's interesting. Okay.
So that was,
I like that.
Yeah. So that's a good update on that front and closing dining halls, et cetera.
Right. Exactly. Well, here I found the stuff I was looking for. So thank you for stalling.
Yeah.
And sharing that interesting thing. Story.
You're welcome.
Story.
You're welcome.
But this is the gating criteria from the state public health department. It is available online. They are very transparent about what these targets are. And so, again, the spread of COVID, our target is 1.05 or less. Right now it's 1.23. So that's still low-ish, but not certainly as low as they would like it. These numbers are updated Monday, Wednesday, Friday. The spread of COVID-19, again, our target, the 7-day rolling average of New Mexico daily cases, we'd like it to be 168, which is where we were for a long time.
For a long time.
But now take a look. We're at 599
yeah.
a day.
A day.
Yeah. So a 7-day rolling average, but yeah, as you average those out per day. The other one is the number of COVID-19 tests per day. We'd like to have 5,000. We're now doing 9,000 tests a day in our state.
Wow.
That's amazing, right? Testing capacity, general and vulnerable populations. Again, the positivity rate is 5% or less. We're seeing 7%.
Yeah.
In our state at the moment. And of course, this is statewide numbers, everyone, not just San Juan County. The contact tracing and isolation. So if someone does test positive, then that enacts a whole other series of events that you go and try to figure out who that person was in contact with in the past several days or whatever the case may be. The state would like it to be 24 hours or less. It's about 31 hours. So that's close, but still not where they would like it to be. In the target, the contact tracing and isolation capacity, again, time from COVID-19 positive test result to a quarantine, 36 hours or less. Our state's now at 65 hours. That's almost double.
Yeah.
And that means that those folks may start, if they don't know, they could be infecting other folks. That's the problem with that. And our healthcare system capacity, again, adult ICU beds occupied across 7 New Mexico hub hospitals, of which we know San Juan Regional is one. And we want it less than 439, and we're at 276. So that's good
news. That's good news, yeah.
You know, we're not in danger of overwhelming our healthcare system yet. And the statewide healthcare system capacity, a 7-day supply of PPE, that personal protective equipment. We want a 7-day supply in at least 6 out of 7 of our hospitals, and we have 7 out of 7. So that's another
positive thing.
So anyway, we hadn't shared that, I don't think, before on the show.
No, and that's good.
And I just wanted to do that with our audience. And again, this is available online. You can look at it anytime when they update it, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays for some of this data. The other day is Tuesday, but the state is sharing all that with us as well. So anyway, so there you go.
It's good.
So
helpful.
Yeah. You are. Anyway, I think that brings us to an end of the show today.
Yes.
Well, we had a lot of good information.
We did. It was a lot of bang for your buck.
Yeah.
Packed into 30 minutes.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, great news from Echo. Again, if you know people that could use some help with their rent, utilities, that's really important. And I think maybe some of the income, you know, levels have maybe increased because of this extra funding they're getting. So I would certainly make a call if that's a concern for you or a family member or relative or friend.
Definitely.
So share that. And, of course, the food giveaway on Friday over in Aztec. So we encourage you to check that out, too. And, of course, we'll look forward to this Not Alone Project video hitting the internets tomorrow.
The internets.
The tubes.
The World Wide Web.
Yes. They're loading into the tube as we speak. The internet tube. All right, everyone.
That
look from Megan says, time's up.
All right. Yeah. We will see you guys Thursday.
Yes, we will. Take care, everyone. Stay well. Bye-bye. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.